brother. What's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, like, dig it. Stop. Right on.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
Well, I'm not.
Oh. Are you good?
No, man. I mean, you know, my own personal life and physically, I'm good.
That's good.
But I'm not good. When in the city in which I live, there's 149 homicides already at this juncture, 38 more than last year, which was a record-breaking year, and the year before that, another record-breaking year. And so in the city in which I live, we're on a pace for 200 lives to be lost in this nation. And I hear people talking about Afghanistan and, the United States, we need to do something about Afghanistan and what's happening in Afghanistan. And those people and their lives are being taken not to the degree that lives are lost in urban centers across this nation. You know, Connor, you're from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that number is astronomical.
Yeah, it's more, it's, I mean, there are weekends where it'd be like 50 people.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And yeah, but it's been going on forever.
For a really long
time.
And so
you can't tell me that if we put a focused effort as a nation, the most powerful nation on earth, that we can't do something to stop the genocide. We talk about the genocide all over the world. And, there's genocide going on in some of the African nations. And so we've got to do something about the genocide. It's horrible. It really is. It's horrible. Well, you know, there's genocide going on inside this country. And so it's just totally dismissed. You know, thus far, you know, no one in my immediate family has become a statistic. But at the rate we're going, all of us are going to know somebody whose lives have been taken inside of this the purported greatest nation on earth. Now, 149 homicides as of today. As of today. Three more shootings last night. And we become immune to it. But here's what's at the root of it.
All right, I'll let it in.
You know, 90% of the killings are by guns, right? By guns, gun violence. So 90% of those lives that have been taken, we know the tool that was used to take them. Now, you may say, well, guns don't kill people. People kill people. You know, you hear that foolishness, the ridiculous retort. But guns do kill people. People with guns kill people. And 90% of that 149 deaths in the city of Milwaukee have been by people having guns and killing other people. Now, why am I talking about this? And why is this an issue that the state, across the state, as we have heard, people should hear? Because we're going to delve deeper into how it's possible that, you know, a small percentage of people in this nation who own guns. So let me ask you, kind of, what percentage of the population do you think owns guns in the United States?
Well, luckily I got this computer so I can just...
Without looking. I'm just saying.
Without looking up, generally. Yeah. If I were to guess, it'd probably be about like 50%.
So only 30%.
30%.
Of the American people own guns. So tell me why the other 70% of us are held hostage by the 30% of people who own guns. You know, well, I have my constitutional right, you know, to own a gun. It's my Second Amendment right. I hear you. Nobody's saying you can't. But the fact that people who own guns are winning this debate when they're only 30% of the population. Where else is it in this nation that in a majority rules nation at any other time is it that minority will control the majority? Let's do this. Let's go to Dave. Is that from California? Dave from California? Mm-hmm. Hey, Dave, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Oh, hey, morning, Earl. Yeah, I heard you talking about the genocide. I just one sideline, though, on the guns. I used to sell advertising, and they are marketing guns to paranoids. They're going out of their way to get the paranoids worked up, so their paranoia forces them to spend every last penny on a new gun, and so they'll starve before they'll stop buying guns. And it's really just the marketing that's the problem. But in terms of the genocide, oh, go ahead.
But Dave, even with that, still a minority of the population, only 30%, and don't take my word for it, look it up, of the American people own guns.
Well, I know. Paranoids are not the population. Yeah, they're not the entire population. If they were,
Dave, but my question to you is, then why is the other 70% of the American population held hostage by 30% of the Americans who own guns?
It's probably also marketing. You know, in other words, you remember Paul Manafort, right?
Yes, Roger absolutely. Stone.
Yeah, those guys for 40 years were putting together coups. They were putting together divide and conquer schemes for different nations. And in order to do that, you got to work up the paranoids to do something stupid, to work up the other half of the population to do something reactive. And in the meantime, the nation is spending more money on defense and paranoia than they are in fixing potholes. And in fact, I think the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, I'm trying to remember the author of that book, he opens it up by saying that paranoia was really what brought down Rome, that they were spending more money on paranoia than they were on actually getting any of the villages cleaned up or the main roads fixed or anything else. Paranoia was running the economy at the end. And so when you start looking at people like Paul Manafort and Roger Stone and Donald Trump, they're just marketing guys of paranoia. And Oliver North and, I mean, Fox News is clearly that. You know, they're just taking...
I agree with you on all of that, but you wanted to address the genocide that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask if you're familiar with a thing called the Exxon Papers.
No, I'm not.
Well, there's an industry to poisoning America. And in the early days of, you know who Rachel Carson was? She wrote the famous book Silent Spring about how poisoning, pollution was going to kill all of the animals, and eventually we'd have a silent spring where no birds would chirp. And so at the time, Exxon, as an oil company, believed her. And they wanted to do something right, and they came up with some gas additives, and they did various things, and they went along like that for about 10 years. And then in the late 1970s, their board turned 180, and they decided not only were they not going to believe Rachel Carson, but they were going to go out of their way to buy universities, to buy the EPA, to buy the, to corrupt all of the different agencies, the health departments, and the universities, to deny that Rachel Carson was right. And, so they basically created an industry. The pollution industry came up with PR campaigns and scholarships and all sorts of different things, and they made sure that honest people didn't get into environmental sciences, and only the corrupt were able to give waivers for pollution.
Okay, so wrap your point up quickly.
Well, in terms of being able to now sell junk food that'll give you cancer, to be able to sell you laundry detergent that'll,
So, Dave, listen, you don't have to convince me that there is, without question, a part of this nation that is rotten to the core. And will do any and everything to sell out the people of this nation for financial gain. That is at the root.
It's not just that, but it's also to save on the lawsuits. Because if somebody was able to prove that some detergent was poisoning people or whatever, that company'd be out of business. It's actually easier to just put those companies, yank their business licenses to begin with.
Hey, Dave, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call.
Sure.
I don't disagree with you at all. Really appreciate it. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, and I'm talking about the city of Milwaukee, where I live, on a pace to shatter what has been, over the last 2 years, the homicide rate in the city of Milwaukee. And, last 2 years it has been, broken a record, but now we're on a pace to shatter it. 149 homicides already this year. And you break down a little bit by age. 3% of those murdered are children 0 to 9. 8% ages 10 to 17, 18 to 29, 40%, 30 to 39, 21%, 40 to 49, 12%, and 16% 50 years old plus. Again, 90% have been shot. By race, 83% of those homicides in Milwaukee thus far are black people. And the worst part of all of it is 1 in 2 murders are being solved. which means people are murdering people and walking away and never being charged. So is that a problem with law enforcement, that they can't solve all of these murders? The answer to that is no. There'll never be enough law enforcement officers, to deal with the murders that are happening in urban centers across the nation. So you must go to a causal rationale for why this is taking place. Now, I've lived long enough that to see a time when that didn't happen. That's why I can confidently say that there's something that happened and is happening in this nation that has created a climate where this genocide is taking place in urban centers across the nation. Because again, when I was a young man, this didn't happen. Rarely, if ever, was there murdering going on when I was a kid. You know, you maybe somebody got drunk, maybe somebody got into a situation, and so somebody might have gotten shot or killed. But those numbers and those percentages might have been in the 20s for the entire year when I was a kid. So what happened? What is happening across the nation that all of these people are being slaughtered and we as a nation don't seem to be able to care? We don't care about it. We don't make it a issue. Because after all, it's just those people killing themselves. And I resent the people who look at it from that perspective. Because you can't talk about, because after all, those are your countrymen. Those are fellow Americans who are being slaughtered in this, the quote unquote, so-called greatest nation on earth. Now, why am I talking about this? Why am I saying this? Because in the city of Milwaukee, there's an office called the Office of Violence Prevention. And so the Office of Violence Prevention is pegged and it's been around for the last 20 or more years. And the job of the Office of Violence Prevention is to prevent violence. So let me see if I got this right. You know, prior to the last 7 years or so, a little bit more than that, the Office of Violence Prevention had one person in it. One guy whose job it was to address and prevent violence. So, you know, I'm, and again, the reason that I stated earlier is that when I was a young boy, there was rarely, if any, killing or murdering. And so I asked a bunch of young men that I had in my camp two weeks ago, raise your hand if you know somebody who's been shot. And man, almost every one of them, these are kids ages 10 to 15 years old, almost every one of them raised their hands. Almost every one. 200. And I said to them, if that same question was asked of my generation when I was that age, if one person raised their hand, we would look at that person in disbelief. We got to look at what is taking place. It has to be made a priority in this nation. When we're talking about campaigns and all those things, this has to be one of those issues. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I'm talking about a major problem inside of this nation that gets very little, if any, scrutiny or any conversation. And that's the continued slaughter and genocide that is taking place in urban centers across this nation. And it is not something that just began, but it's certainly been something that we have seen over the last several decades, and growing and consuming neighborhoods and communities in the United States. And we act as though we can't do anything about it. We choose not to do anything about it. And that's the frustrations that I have. When we can be concerned about what's going on in Ukraine or what's going on in Afghanistan, and we're talking about, you know, those poor people, let's start having some compassion and sympathy for your fellow countrymen, the people who live inside of this nation, who happen to be people of color, who live in war zones. And there are reasons why these things are happening. You know, early on, I talked about why, you know, Connor, when I was a young boy, we didn't have that. And I can tell you what was at the root of it. Because there were opportunities in the urban centers for young people and people of color. Industry was here. And so at 18 years old, you could do what I did. You could go into a factory if you chose and begin a career that would last your entire youth. Full life, where you work one job from 18 to 54 years of age. That's what I did. 18 years old and worked on one job my entire young life, and then retire with a pension where there's money that I have coming in for the rest of my life every month. And if I choose to work, fine. If I don't, you know, that's another thing. I have this to fall back on. And that was the way it was. And so when those jobs left this nation, willfully by corporations with the help of elected officials who passed laws that made it possible to take those jobs away, then you wound up with people who are in survival mode. And so people who aren't prepared, who can't make it, who didn't take full advantage of education, and who, because of maybe the luck of the draw, because all of these things are the luck of the draw, the family you were born into, you know, the neighborhood, the community in which you lived. All of those things create the person that you are. And so you see the same community that I grew up in that was nurturing to me and my generation and made it possible for us not to see the homicides and the pain that is occurring all too often in in the community of young people, you know, is at the root of why we have all these murders. And so there's no question. It's not that people are born bad. It's not that people are just thugs. It's that people are looking to survive. And I'm not making excuses. I'm telling you facts. So self-preservation is the first law of nature. And so when people are out in a jungle, which unfortunately is what many central cities, communities have become. Predator and prey. And so there are people, beasts in human form. You hear me? Beasts in human form who are preying on other human beings because they don't know any other way. And and that wouldn't be so bad if these beasts didn't have access to guns. That's what's at the root of this. That's what's at the root of 149 murders. And the fact that 83% of those murders in Milwaukee are black people killing one another. And before you say, hey, wait a minute, that's a problem with black people killing each other. Well, here's what you need to understand. Black people kill black people. White people kill white people. Asians kill Asians. That's the way this is set up. It's the environment in which you live. So now, let's get back to why I'm on this, my soapbox. So the Office of Violence Prevention is supposed to, what, prevent violence? If you talk about what creates violence, there's a whole litany of things that create violence. Can you imagine when you live in a war zone, kind of, you know, you lived in it. And as young people, you see death around every corner. You don't see the beauty of the sun because you live in darkness. And your entire adult young life is consumed with watching this horrifying way of living, hustling, because that's the only way you know to make a dollar. We live in a society that says money is king. We live in a capitalistic society that says he who has the goal in the end wins. That's the way people live their lives because that's what happens in the capitalistic society. So that's what young people are doing. So drugs come into our community, man. Drugs that we don't own any ships. So heroin, cocaine, all those different things that come into our neighborhoods and into our communities, we don't bring them in. But they're there. We can't get the right food in our neighborhoods and in our communities, but cocaine, heroin, it's there. Where did it come from? How does a young brother, 14 years old, get his hands on heroin to deal, right? And you can't tell me our government is not aware of these things. Our government is aware of everything that comes into this nation, everything. So they know where the heroin is coming from. They know where the cocaine is coming from. They know where the opioids are coming from. Why won't they stop it? So anyway, let me get back to the issue. And I can tell you why they won't stop it, because the value of a black life has zero value in this nation. That's a fact. Now, so the Office of Violence Prevention, you know, was the mayor appointed a young lady named Arnita Holloman. I know her. You know, pleasant young lady. And this is after we had a gentleman named Reggie Moore, who is a brilliant guy, who came up with some plans and some ideas to address violence in the community. And they realized that this violence is a public health crisis. And they tied violence into public health because people's mental condition has everything to do with their actions. And so if their mental conditions control their thoughts, then it's easy for someone to do some of the things that are being done in our neighborhoods and our communities. Anyway, I don't have a whole lot of time, so let me expedite why I'm talking about this. So the young lady who took Reggie Moore's place, Miss Arnita Holloman, was somehow charged with finding a way to slow down the violence in our community and in our neighborhoods. So just try to envision this. 149 murders thus far, and we're just in the middle of August. September, October, November, December. You know, three and a half more months to go. How are you going to stop people who don't believe they have any future or any life? How are you going to stop them from their pain and not believing that their life has any value? I mean, you can certainly talk to people, but you need an army to do that. They had 15 people working in that office to try to address what is an epidemic, not only in Central City, Milwaukee, but across the nation. How do you change the mindset of people who, again, basically have post-traumatic stress disorder as children? Mental health issues that are generational. Can one person make that happen? So this young lady was charged with trying to turn those things around. She's been fired after a year on the job, maybe a little less than a year on the job. And she's been replaced by a former alderman, nice guy. But he's not going to be able to do anything differently than she did. Because to ask an office with 15 employees to stop the killing is ridiculous. It's not going to happen. It's an impossible task. And we've got to come to that realization. If we're going to stop the killing, then the federal government needs to bring together and create a war on what's happening in urban centers across this nation. Why are so many people in this nation hopeless? How is it possible that people who can't get food can get their hands on the killing sticks? How is that possible? So until we have politicians on a national level who are willing to address these issues straight up and make them a priority, excuse me, anybody they put in that position is not going to be successful. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Coast, so come roll with me. Just a rebel looking for a place to be. So let's kick and push. Chance's girlfriend came across a needle and soon she did the same. At home there were 17-year-old boys and their idea of fun is being in a gang called the Disciples, high on crack, toting a machine gun. Church and kill everyone inside. You turn on the telly and every other story is telling you somebody died. My sister killed a baby cause she couldn't afford to feed it, and it was sending people to the moon. In September my cousin tried reefer for the very first time. Now he's doing horse. It's June.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I'm just talking about inventing because you just look at things. I come in here on Monday through Friday and talk about things nationally, and I talk about things internationally. And I point out the problems that exist in the world and those problems that exist in our nation. And I don't talk about the problems that exist in your own backyard. And one of them that continues is this continued slaughter in urban centers across the nation that we just don't seem to care enough to fix. And, you know, the fact that this young lady, Anita Holloman, was removed because, you know, the Common Council of the City of Milwaukee and others wanted to see some measured improvement in what is happening, that she somehow was going to be able to wave a magic wand and stop what is a problem that is national because of what has happened in this country, and people who've turned away from it because, you know, those the lives of American citizens who happen to be, unfortunately, people of color, don't have the same value. It's just a fact. And so, when will we ever overcome that? When will we ever admit that in this country and then do what's right? You know, what's right. And so we're concerned about the rest of the world. Go all ye into the world. It's what the book says, you know, and save the world. Well, you can't go all ye into the world, the last time I checked, if you don't start in Milwaukee. If you don't start in Chicago. If you don't start in Gary, Indiana. If you don't start in Atlanta or Detroit or Cleveland or Pittsburgh, you know, you've got to start in your backyard. Let's go to the phone lines. Just put them on, man. Just who do we have? Let's just put them on. All right. Good morning. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Earl. It's David.
Yes.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I give you a lot of credit for starting your new venture, your new chapter in your life, you know, and trying to get young boys on the right track. And I really hope that from what you've started, that other communities around the country, that somebody will be doing something similar to what you're doing. Because everything that we've done to this point and it has not worked. And I do think it's important to have a father figure for boys to look up to and to pass that knowledge that you acquired over time to younger generation and then get them into good habits and to enjoy their life, because life is very precious, as you know, and it goes by very quickly, as you know. It doesn't take long before you become an older person rather quickly, but unfortunately, a lot of these lives are getting snuffed out way too early, as we know. And I think to your point, it's glossed over when it's even talked about in the news. It's just like a brief, like a little blip. There's no context as to, you know, what's going on. And, you know, we've had a lot of victims. We never really hear about the victims all that much. Every once in a while, maybe when it's a very young girl or a young boy, but when you're older, it's kind of discarded as, you know, like a piece of tissue you throw in the garbage can, for lack of words. But, you know, continue what you're doing, Earl, because I think it's imperative that that people recognize that, yes, sometimes you got to take the bull by the horns. And I think you've always recognized it, and you do bring up this conversation on occasion, and it's good to talk about, because it's out there, whether we like it or not. It is out there.
Hey Dave, I got to go to a break, man. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. When we come back, we're going to be joined by my good friend Joel McNally. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.